This is Jessica Ortner from thetappingsolution.com, and I would like to welcome you to our special teleclass, Overcoming Patterns of Sabotage Once and for All. And we'll be speaking to the one and only Carol Look from attractingabundance.com. This is part one of the four-part series. Welcome, Carol.
Hi, Jess.
Carol, I am thrilled about this topic. What can people expect in these classes to come, and who is it targeted to?
I'm thrilled about the topic, too, because I have had such success tapping with people for their sabotage behavior. This is really for everyone. I have never met a human being who doesn't sabotage at some level of success and in some area of their life. So this is for everybody, practitioners, lay people, people in other jobs and professions. It's going to help all of us. So I'm really excited to work through it with you.
That's great. And Carol, let's start with the basics. Let's define sabotage. What does it really mean?
Sometimes it's easier to picture it when you're with another person. So let's say you, Jess, wanted to go to the gym this morning, and you were on the telephone with a friend who had not started their workout program, and you were on the phone with them, and you said, well, I've got to go now because I've got an appointment at the gym, and they kept talking. And you said, okay, we'll talk about that later. I've got to go now. I've got an appointment at the gym, and they kept talking. You would think, now, wait a minute, are you trying to sabotage my getting to my appointment at the gym? So that's what it looks like with another person, right? Mm-hmm. When someone tries or looks like they're getting in the way of your moving forward or progressing. So it happens with friends and family members, and you think, hey, are you getting in the way here? Are you, you know, why are you standing between me and my goal? Now it's up to you to get off the phone, but when someone's not paying attention to you and not supporting you going to the gym, just as an example, then they're kind of sabotaging you. Now, when it's in ourselves, it's a part of ourselves. So the same example, you want to go to the gym and you turn on the TV. You've got an appointment at the gym with your trainer and you turn on the television and start watching something and go over to the fridge and start snacking. That's another part of you sabotaging as if it's another person. So that's what it looks like within ourselves. We say we want something and then we do the opposite behavior. That's what sabotage looks like.
Yeah, and you're right. I think everyone and anyone can relate to this. So, Carol, if we know that we're doing it, because sometimes we're aware that we're sabotaging ourselves, if we know about it, why do we do it? Why do we engage in the sabotage behavior?
Isn't it interesting? Because, as I say, I think everyone does it. We do it even when we say we don't want to. I've had people go pay hundreds of dollars to workshops and not be aware that they're still doing the sabotage behavior. So they're coming to a workshop and they're going to sabotage because they're not going to do their tapping. And what it means, if we're engaged in anything that's sabotage, and that could be procrastination, showing up late, not getting our work done, you know, having conversations that aren't healthy for us, not doing something physically that's good for us, anything that's getting in our way, what it points to is that our subconscious mind has a limiting belief or has some kind of information that's making it sabotage you. So the subconscious mind is somehow interpreting it as, I don't really think I want you to reach that goal, so I'm going to get in your way. And the subconscious mind is in charge, right? The subconscious mind has all the real programming. So maybe you have a limiting belief about success, even though you say, oh, Carol, I really want to succeed. I really want to get further and make more money and have happier relationships and lose 10 pounds and et cetera, et cetera. You may say that out loud. What's the truth? You will see the truth by your behavior. So maybe you have limiting beliefs. The truth is we'd rather not reach our goals. That's what it shows us. If you'd rather not reach your goals, you have to look at why. Because people say, oh, don't be silly. Of course I want to reach my goal. Well, are you safe? Do you feel safe about being successful? Do you feel safe reaching your goal? You always want to ask, what's the upside to sabotage? You know, you're procrastinating as a classic sabotage behavior. What's the upside of that? Well, guess what? You don't have to get your website done. You don't have to get the proposal done. If you get the proposal done and you send it to someone, they can say yes or no. So if you procrastinate, no one's going to judge it, and no, there's no risk of the person saying no. If you don't put your resume together, there's no risk. If you show up late, Maybe you want to pick a fight with someone. Maybe you're angry and passive aggressively. You can't deal with it, so you show up late, and then the person's mad at you, and you say, "Hey, you're mad at me," when you're the person who's actually angry. So you have to look at sabotage as behavior that is serving a purpose. That's the best way to look at it. I'm sabotaging? Gee, Jess, you're sabotaging? How fascinating. Why? Because it must be serving a purpose, and what people do is they just criticize themselves for sabotaging, and that doesn't do any good. You don't learn anything. You don't get anywhere. You don't change. You have to honestly analyze it and say, really, I'm sabotaging. I can't believe it. That must mean, dot, 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 I've got a limiting belief, or I don't feel safe reaching my goal, or I'm doing this, you know, 50-50 back and forth thing with myself. What's the upside, the sabotage? Why would I be getting in my own way?
Mm-hmm. Carol, when you're working with a client and they're sabotaging themselves and you're bringing up this concept to them, do you find that it's easy for them or difficult for them to find the upside of a sabotage?
Well, I think it's pretty easy. They've just never been asked the questions. They just criticize themselves for sabotaging themselves. They you know, notice the behavior. Maybe a family member's upset about it. But once we start getting involved in it, and I say, well, you know, why don't you look at sabotage as a behavior that your body and mind thinks you need? Look at it as something positive. It's sabotage is serving you. And people say, oh, it's not serving me. I hate sabotage. Yes, but you wouldn't do it if it wasn't serving you. So on some level, psychologically, it must be protecting you. So let's figure that out. And when I have that approach, let's figure it out together. What do you think is an upside to not getting your resume done? Then they can come up with the answers. They've just never gone to that part of their brain to figure it out, because our culture is very critical of procrastination. Our culture is very critical of being late and, you know, all these other things we do that get in the way. And that's not helpful. So we want to be kind to ourselves and say, fascinating. Look what I did this morning. I ran so late I had to skip the gym. Isn't that funny? Why did I do that? You know, so just use it as information. You know, the NLP people will always say it's feedback, not failure. Use it as feedback. What are you saying to yourself that you skipped, you know, you went and got a piece of pizza instead of healthier food? What is it saying to you that another week went by and you didn't get your project done? Is that sabotage or is that overwhelm? Like, what's going on with you? So once you approach it from that angle, then it's soothing and caring and compassionate, and then you can get information.
Right. So when we become clear on, you know, why we're doing it, how do we actually stop it?
Well, tapping is my absolute favorite technique to stop the sabotage. So what you do is make sure you're very clear on what the targets are for tapping. So what are the targets? The limiting beliefs, right? Maybe a limiting belief is something that says, your part of your mind says, well, I want to be successful, but I'll never get there. So then you just throw in the towel and you don't finish projects. You only do them part way. You never follow through with somebody because you think, no, I'm never going to get there. I don't have what it takes. Or maybe a limiting belief is, I won't feel safe when I'm successful because I'll stand out. Thousands of people have that, and I help people with that. If you don't feel safe being successful, because being successful to you means you're going to stand out, you will sabotage your success. It's like clockwork. It has to happen because you'd rather, as a human being, you'd rather be safe than anything else. So if you interpret correctly or incorrectly that one of your brothers or sisters will be upset if you're successful, or a colleague's going to be upset, or that someone's going to be mean to you because you're standing out. If that's your expectation, you will protect yourself and lose the proposal. You will, you know, not be on time. You will disappoint your boss. You'll do something to get in your own way, because in the end, what is it that you want? You want to feel safe. We want to feel safe, and that's what we end up doing. So how to stop the sabotage behavior is figure out what is it, what are the beliefs. You got to be inspired to be successful, and you're not inspired to be successful when you have all these limiting beliefs. You're only inspired, you only feel inspired when there's clarity and you know where you want to go and there are no yes buts and you just want to move forward. Mm-hmm. So we release all the limiting beliefs, all the feelings and all the yes buts.
And really, the being inspired part is when the struggle stops, right? It's not about motivation anymore.
Right. Inspiration is very different than motivation.
Great. And I know that you have something in store for us today, something that we can begin to tap on that can serve us. Can you tell us a little bit about that before we go into it?
Well, it's so interesting because one of the things I work on with people is in sabotage is I say, and by the way, did you do your tapping this week? And they say, no. Really? So here we are, they're coming to tapping workshops or they're in sessions with me or they're on teleclasses or something, and they're in fact not doing their tapping, even though tapping is good for us. They've had results with tapping, either with themselves or with their clients. You know, they know it's going to help them, and they don't do it. So I thought today's target, just to start out before we get questions from the audience, I thought what would be helpful is just that our sabotage behavior is the target today is not doing what's good for us. So maybe it's your tapping or your Qigong practice, or maybe you're not exercising, or maybe you're not meditating. You're not taking time for yourself. You know, maybe you're not eating right. Maybe your place is a mess. It doesn't matter what it is. You know, maybe you're not completing some kind of project, procrastinating, and you're not doing something that you know is good for you. And that's a really important resistance, really. It's saying, if I did 5 minutes of tapping, because you know I recommend 5 minutes of tapping to people once, twice, three times a day, and people still don't do it. 5 minutes. Everybody, including me, and I'm pretty busy, everybody has 5 minutes. You can do 5 minutes on your way to sleep. And people, I didn't get to my tapping last week. Really? You didn't get to any? No, it just kind of fell off the list. Why would something that has been proven to you by your own experience that's been helpful, why would you let that fall off the list? Meditating. I had a client who just loves to meditate. It changes her life, changes how she handles all situations in her relationships, and she stopped meditating. I said, why? I don't know. Just didn't feel like it anymore. Well, she was getting too clear, meaning she was getting really peaceful and clear about her life, and it was threatening her because she was going to have to start to change some things in her work and her personal life, and it scared her. But she didn't know that. Her excuse was, I just didn't feel like it anymore. When someone says, I didn't feel like it anymore, there's a lot more information that's going on under there. People do that with diet and exercise. They say, I kind of got tired of the diet. What happened is they became successful. They reached their goal weight. They started to get attention, or they started to stand out, or they started to feel really successful, and it didn't match their self-image. So they weren't comfortable, so then they went backwards and, I feel like, binging on sugar now. Mm-hmm. I don't know, the gym's kind of boring. I mean, our excuses, and I've done them all, by the way. Every part of my life, I've done them all.
Right. This is very interesting to hear, Carol, because it shows the importance of being consistent, that tapping isn't a tool that you do once to get to a goal and then you never go back to it again, but you need something to write to kind of keep up the momentum.
Right. You really need to commit to yourself. I mean, I was listening to an interview, and someone asked, what is your commitment level? How much do you want it? How much are you committed to yourself? How much are you inspired to yourself? You know, I did my gratitude list out in the park yesterday. It was a beautiful day, and I thought, haven't done this for a couple of days. Interesting, right? Takes, 2 minutes, and I didn't do it? So physical health, our bodies, our minds, our spiritual health, our relationship health. You know, when you get sloppy in a relationship, you sabotage, you kind of pick a fight, or you're kind of cranky, or you're not careful, you're not paying attention when the person's talking to you, your friend is talking to you and you want, wants to be heard, and you're kind of doing three things at once and multitasking. We sabotage everywhere.
Right. Very interesting. So, Carol, can we dive into some tapping?
Yes. Now, so if the target today, and everybody, if you don't have the exact issue that Jess and I are going to tap on, please substitute your own words for it. But the point is, we're not doing what we know is good for us. I'm not saying that I'm giving you advice and I say, hey, Jess, I found this thing and I think it would be really good for you. People listening have done tapping. That's why they upgraded to this, to this level. They know how successful tapping is for them already, and they're still not doing it. Right? So it's not some, outside objective. Oh, this is good for you. people, myself included, we have already experienced success in this area, and then we fall off the page. Okay, right. So that's what we're going to do, kind of more general. We're not doing what's good for us. Okay?
Okay.
As usual, we start on the karate chop point, everyone. Okay. Even though I'm not doing what I know is good for me.
Even though I'm not doing what I know is good for me.
And it's kind of confusing.
And it's kind of confusing.
I accept who I am anyway.
I accept who I am anyway.
Even though I'm noticing that I'm resistant to my tapping.
Even though I'm noticing that I'm resistant to my tapping.
Why won't I do it?
Why won't I do it?
Why won't I do what's good for me?
Why won't I do what's good for me?
I accept who I am.
I accept who I am.
No matter what.
No matter what.
Even though I'm trapped in this pattern.
Even though I'm trapped in this pattern.
Of sabotaging myself.
Of sabotaging myself.
I won't even do what's good for me.
I won't even do what's good for me.
I have decided to accept who I am anyway.
I have decided to accept who I am anyway.
Eyebrow, I'm resistant to tapping.
I'm resistant to tapping.
Side of the eye, I'm not doing what's good for me.
I'm not doing what's good for me.
Under the eye, I wonder what the blocks are.
I wonder what the blocks are.
Under the nose, I'm not doing what's good for me.
I'm not doing what's good for me.
Chin, I wonder why.
I wonder why.
Collarbone, I wonder why I'm so resistant.
I wonder why I'm so resistant.
Under the arm, I'm really sabotaging myself.
I'm really sabotaging myself.
Top of head, I'm really sabotaging myself.
I'm really sabotaging myself.
Then go back to the eyebrow. I wonder if I'm worried about being successful.
I wonder if I'm worried about being successful.
What if I really could reach my goals?
What if I really could reach my goals?
Under the eye, I wonder why I'm sabotaging.
I wonder why I'm sabotaging.
Under the nose, this sabotage problem.
This sabotage problem.
Chin, it feels like an old pattern to me.
It feels like an old pattern to me.
Collarbone, what if I let it go?
What if I let it go?
Under the arm, what if I let go of this sabotage behavior?
What if I let go of this sabotage behavior?
Top of the head, what if I started doing things that were good for me?
What if I started doing things that are good for me?
And I started honoring who I am.
And I started honoring who I am.
Good. Take a breath.
Ooh, I just had a big yawn, which means I'm definitely moving energy.
Now, there are of course, many, many layers of that, and people can change the wording, and we can do another couple of rounds and just play with the words there.
Mm-hmm.
But what's so important is I bet 100% of the people listening to this series will say, oh, yeah, I sabotage there. Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. Yes, I do sabotage there. I don't sabotage at work. You know how people will come in? Well, they'll come into my workshops, and some of them will say, I never sabotage at work. But they say, you ought to see my home life. And they sabotage and pick fights with their family members. The place is a mess, and they're not organized. They don't pay their personal bills, but work, their desk, and their office, absolutely perfect, right? So sometimes we save sabotage for a particular area of our lives. And again, people often don't recognize sabotage in interpersonal relationships. You know what they do? They say, well, he's just argumentative. They say, oh, well, I was just cranky. Oh, well, instead of understanding that psychologically, a lot of people have trouble with emotional intimacy. And when things get too close, they pick a fight.
Yeah.
And it looks legitimate.
Right.
Well, you did leave the laundry on the floor, you know. So, but that's a huge area that people don't realize, which, of course, then makes you more tired, more exhausted. Then you don't sleep well. Then you have another fight the next day. Then you don't feel solid and good in yourself. Then you're not as good at work, and you start sabotaging there. This is how the cycle starts. Then, you know, when you're not feeling good at work, at 3 o'clock when the candy cart comes around, you go eat candy bars, and before you know it, you're having a bad week.
Yeah. Carol, your examples I find to be very helpful because it gets our minds to start working and to start asking these questions. I know finances is a big topic for many people. Do you find that when you're working with someone and they have trouble, say, with finances or losing weight, kind of these major topics that so many people struggle with, that there are any consistencies in regards to the reasons why they're sabotaging?
Absolutely. And it doesn't matter if 50% of the people listening sabotage on financial issues, the other 50 with their body issues. The mechanism is the same underneath. If I'm understanding your question, the mechanism is the same underneath. If you're afraid of success in some area, if you're afraid to do better, if you're afraid to progress, and finances is the area you sabotage, you're going to go spend. Let's say you have a very limited amount of money, and you really need to go to your EFT practitioner. But you go spend, and you go, you know, buy something that you don't really need and spend a little bit too much here. And then by the time the week comes, you go, oh, my gosh, I can't pay for my session this week. And you call your therapist and say, I have to skip it. That's a financial way to sabotage. Betting, spending, overspending when you don't have it in the bank. People put it on credit cards. It's another way to sabotage because what does it do? It creates tension. It creates limitation because then you can't do what's good for you, right? Mm-hmm. Going to get more help. Like, you know, so people, so I'm, again, I'm not sure if I understood your question correctly. Is that what you meant?
Yes. No, it's great. It's great to hear that. And also just to be more specific, I mean, when you deal with someone with finances, is it common that they say, I don't want to make money because I'm scared of, say, what my family will think? Or, you know, what are some of the common reasons that you hear come up which lead to sabotage?
Oh, yes. Well, first of all, there's always identity issues. So if someone has always been a low earner, and that's how they're seen in their family and with their friends, and, oh, you know, Jess, she always gets by, but she's always struggling a little bit, and suddenly you triple your, you know, in 1 year you triple your income because you're really successful and you work through your blocks, it's uncomfortable for you and the other people. So you have to get over that. So that's one thing. What are other people going to think? What are other people going to say? So that self-image, do you match with the new you that's financially successful? Another thing is, what are people going to ask of you if you are suddenly wealthy? Not, and again, not suddenly, but if you change all these blocks to financial abundance and you become successful, do you have friends who are going to take advantage of you? That's another issue. Who's going to be mad at you? Right? Do you have colleagues and siblings who will actually be so jealous that they might do something hostile to you? So there are lots of reasons that people say, you know, here's a path. I've been shown methods to increase my financial abundance, and the truth is I don't want to go there. And then you have to figure out. See, you can't figure it out until they sabotage. When they sabotage, the people who do my abundance book, right, the emails are incredible. Oh, my gosh, change this, change that. The people who aren't doing it are sabotaging themselves, so nothing's changing. They're not using the exercises.
Right.
Why? Because they're afraid to. And again, always go back to this idea of safety. Is there something about being financially successful that you think isn't safe? Oh, no, of course I want it. Okay, is there anybody in your life who might be really upset? Well, maybe, you know, if you get your book published, is a friend going to be upset that his book wasn't published? If you get a new love romance partner, romantic partner, is your friend who's been single for 10 years going to be upset with you? If you suddenly are doubling your income and your sales are fabulous, is the person who shares office space with you going to be upset and feel left behind and, again, maybe say something nasty to you? So there are thousands of examples that you and I could come up with, but, again, what's the upside of sabotaging or the downside of reaching your goal? What could possibly be a negative consequence? That's what I say to people. What could possibly be a negative consequence of you getting the promotion that you keep telling me you want and then that you keep sabotaging?
Right.
Oh, there's no doubt. Oh, there's no negative consequence. Really? How are your colleagues going to feel? Oh, well, two of them think that they deserve it too. Right? Well, that's going to be a tension and a problem at work. So you have to get over that so you can get promoted or double your sales or be chosen as employee of the month. You need to get over all the blocks so that you can get that far and be okay with other people's reactions. A lot of the EFT work I do is helping people be okay with other people's reactions in their life.
Mm-hmm.
So what if they're jealous? So what if they're upset? So what if you're older siblings say, well, you didn't deserve that. I don't know why you're so successful. I've been working harder than you have for longer. lot of stuff comes up with siblings, teachers, so it's really important information to look at.
Do you find that when people begin this work and they begin to use tapping, that asking the questions, these questions that we're asking ourselves, are just as important as the tapping to really make it effective?
They are, because if you don't ask the right questions, you're not going to tap on the right target, and the person will feel maybe mediocre results, and they won't get to the core issue. You need to know what your emotional limiting beliefs are. You've got to get to them. Mm-hmm. You've got to know, why would you sabotage yourself in your professional life? Oh, well, I don't know, I'm just too busy. Being too busy is one of the targets on my list, depending on the questions we get, and maybe some people will talk about that. When someone is overwhelmed, they're not clear, they're just too busy, that is a very sneaky way of sabotaging yourself, because you can blame the world. Oh, well, the kids are just so busy, and I've got so much to do, or, oh, too many people want things from me, and it's my boss, or, oh, I had to do, you know, the laundry and clean the house because my in-laws were coming. We blame the world for being too busy, when the truth is we're not taking care of ourselves. We're not setting appropriate boundaries with people. We're not saying no to carpooling our friends' kids when we need to say no. We're sitting in front of the TV instead of doing the stuff we need to do the night before the meeting. So, you know, this too busy and, oh, I don't have time, and, oh, overwhelmed, and I'm not clear, and I don't know what I want. It's a wonderful topic of sabotage that I work with people. I get them to get clear. I help them to understand, and I ask the question, what's the downside to getting clear?
Carol, what do you suggest for someone who is asking themselves this question, but they're not sure if they really got it? They're having trouble finding the answer to that question.
Ask it in a couple of different ways. And then just be very free with your writing. And I recommend doing it not on the computer, but writing. Something really important happens when you're translating from your brain down your arm into your hand. It's a very primitive. It's the first way we all learned how to communicate, you know, talking and writing that way. So you ask the question in several ways. How is the sabotage serving you? What perhaps is the upside of sabotage in your life? Is there anything positive coming to you as a result of the sabotage behavior? Then you flip it around. Okay, what's the downside of getting your website completed? What's the downside of reaching your goal weight? How does being frustrated serve you? How does not going to the gym, or not doing your Qigong or Tai Chi practice, or not doing your tapping practice, how does that serve you now? So you keep asking in different ways. It's kind of subtle. And see what you write down. And some people get a whopping aha. They get like a life-changing answer, like, oh, my word. You know, they really get something that is profound. Other people get lots of little things. Oh, I don't want to be clear, because if I'm clear, I think it's going to make me feel compelled to leave that job, and I feel too uncomfortable leaving the job and working by myself. Oh. Okay. Other people get, you know, so you get smaller answers. So don't look for something earth-shattering. Just look for the truth. And you know, Jess, when we ask ourselves questions and we get the answer, and it's a true answer for our gut feeling, you know how it feels.
Oh, yeah. You know.
You know how it feels. If your friend, so let's say, Jess, you double your salary in 2010. You know, if you're nervous that a friend of yours is going to be jealous, you just know what it feels like. Mm-hmm. You know what it feels like if you're worried about being out there more and standing out and being more professionally successful. You know what it feels like if you're concerned about other people's reactions.
And
we all know the truth.
Right. And when you say it out loud, because a lot of times we have feelings, but we haven't put words to it. And when you get the wording right, you feel it. I like how you say you know it in your knower. Like it hits you pretty hard.
It really does. So just be gentle when you're saying, you know, what if someone is asking these questions and not really getting the answer? What I would say, another thing to look at is, are you asking your questions in a quiet place? Are you giving yourself time? Or are you multitasking while you're asking yourself these questions? Sit down quietly with a notebook and a pen and write the questions out, because just writing them out will actually be helpful.
Mm-hmm.
And say, why have I been late for three business meetings. Oh, it's only 3 minutes late. When you're late for a business meeting, they know it and it shows. And you cannot blame it on the subways. You can't blame it on your secretary. Why are you showing up late? Why are you not getting something done? You know, so just ask yourself, I wonder why, just be gentle. I wonder why I would get in my own way. Why do you think? Now, of course, the big, big issues that many people have underneath all of this is I don't deserve to be happy. I'm not worthy of success. And then those, of course, are tappable issues that go back to early childhood issues. Why would you think you're not worthy of success? Who told you that? What did your parents say, or what did society say about you? You'll never amount to anything. So those are other, you know, kind of global issues, meaning I'm not worthy. That's a big issue for tapping, but that's a very important issue for tapping.
And Carol, as we wrap up here, can we end with one more tapping round just to leave people in that space? Also to help people begin to get momentum and start tapping more.
Excellent. Okay, we'll start on the karate chop as usual. Even though I've been sabotaging my own progress. And I didn't know why. I hope to get the answer from my unconscious mind. Even though I've been sabotaging my progress and my success. I accept who I am anyway. This is an essential part, you know, of the tapping, is to accept yourself even though you're doing this behavior that you're mad at yourself for, right?
Mm-hmm.
Karate chop. Even though I've been sabotaging myself again. I must have these concerns and conflicts about success. I accept who I am. And know that I'm okay. Eyebrow, I accept who I am. Under the eye, No, I don't. Under the eye, I'm mad at myself for sabotaging. Under the nose, I am so frustrated with myself. Chin, I'm sick and tired of sabotaging. Collarbone, I am so tired of this sabotage behavior. Under the arm, I wonder if I'm ready to let it go. Top of that, I wonder if I'm ready to let it go. Eyebrow, I am ready to let it go. Side of the eye, I understand this conflict. Under the eye, I understand why I've been sabotaging. Under the nose, It's very fascinating. Chin, It's really interesting. Collarbone, I understand the reason I was sabotaging. Under the arm, but I don't need it anymore. Top of the head. And I choose to accept who I am. No matter what. And I'm ready to move forward now. Take a deep breath. Good.
Wonderful. Carol, can you let us give us a sneak peek of a few things that we can expect to learn in future classes?
Well, so today we focused on the not doing things that we know are good for ourselves. Next week, depending on some of the questions you get in, I really do want to focus on this idea of being too busy and overwhelmed and not clear. I have had monumental changes with people. Then we're going to do procrastination because it's such a popular form of sabotage. And on the fourth call, and again, depending on what our listeners are asking us, we can do the causes of being late and how that hurts us and why we would keep sabotaging ourselves by being late to important meetings. So those are the possibilities anyway.
Oh, well, this sounds awesome, Carol. And for those who are listening, I'm sure there's a lot of people out there going, wait, I didn't hear about how I can ask a question yet. So any of you who have questions, challenges, even just feedbacks, if you're having great results, if you're learning something from the class, let us know. We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment for Carol, you can email askcarol@thetappingsolution.com. That's askcarol at thetappingsolution.com. The sooner you send in your questions, the greater chance you have for us to answer them. We'd love to get to all of them, but we're definitely going to skim through and try to get the questions that relate to the most amount of people. So I thank you in advance for your questions. And Carol, I thank you for a wonderful first class, and I look forward to next week.
Thanks, Jess.